Tune in for Weekend Talk That Matters, only on KFNX.
Nessun Dorma from the opera Turandot, I Will Conquer, I Will Conquer. Welcome to Healthy Vision, the talk radio show to help you conquer your vision loss. Dr. Edward Kondrat is a board-certified ophthalmologist and homeopathic doctor, author of four best-selling books. Healthy Vision is dedicated to bringing you the latest information for a lifetime of healthy sight and to help you conquer your eye problems. And now, your host, Dr. Edward Kondrat.
Welcome to Healthy Vision. This is your host, Dr. Edward Kondrat, and I'm here every Sunday evening to help you conquer your vision problems. Electricity. We just can't live without it. Seems like everything we do in our life is connected to electricity. But there's something called dirty electricity, and it may be causing a lot of health issues. And we're really fortunate this evening to have Dr. Sam Milham as our guest. He's the author of an exciting book called Dirty Electricity. And Sam, thanks so much for taking time to be with us on Healthy Vision.
My pleasure.
And I know you have a lot to share with us. And I just wanted you maybe just to go over briefly a little bit about your background and how you got interested in this subject.
I'd be happy to fill you in quickly. Okay, I'm 82. I've been around a few years. I grew up in Albany, New York. I was born at Albany Hospital in 1932. I went to college. I went to high school in Albany and elementary school. And won scholarships to college. I went to Union College in Schenectady and did my medical school training at Albany Medical College, in the same old building where I was born. Actually, my first son was born there, too. I worked, I did an internship in the public health service, and then I got a master of public health at Hopkins. You know, when I was training and seeing patients in the medical school and an internship, the thing that always got to me, that was, hey, we're seeing the same things all the time. And I was more interested in why the people were there than to treating them. I mean, I like obstetrics. I like putting hands on people and making people get better. But I just had this real desire to understand, you know, why are people getting sick? And when I was, you know, reading the pediatrics, especially the communicable diseases, thinking, hey, the same techniques they use to figure out how measles and mumps and whooping cough and other diseases worked, we could use those to figure out what was killing us now, which was heart disease and cancer and et cetera. So early on, I my first job was with the New York State Health Department, and at the end of my time there, I used death records looking at occupation for people, men who died of Hodgkin's disease, and I found a curious association with occupations where they worked with wood, like pulp, paper, carpenters, et cetera. And that's held up all these years. From New York, I moved to Hawaii and taught at the School of Public Health there for a couple of years and replicated the Hodgkin's study. And I replicated it in Washington State, Oregon. They had a lot of woodworking people. And when I was doing that, I found a vacant job at the Washington Health Department. I took it, worked there for 23 years, and retired in 92. When I was working with the death records, I just got thinking, hey, you know, there's a ton of information here, and nobody systematically looks at it. Let's look at the occupation information and cause of death. So I did that and found all sorts of interesting associations. The one that really caught my attention was that people who work in jobs with an intuitive connection to electricity had an interesting pattern of cancer excesses, especially leukemia, lymphoma, brain cancer, etc. And about that time, I was very interested in childhood leukemia. I figured if there's any disease I could figure out the epidemiology of it, was that was it, because when I was studying it, it was uniformly fatal, very well reported on death records, and easy to diagnose. You could do it with, a blood prick of a finger. So then two papers came down the road that got me into the childhood leukemia investigation, and one of them was by Court Brown and Dahl. They used U.S. death record data and showed that for childhood leukemia, there was an age peak between age 2 and 4 that developed in the U.S. In the 30s and 40s, and it hadn't been there before. So I kind of jumped on it and said, hey, here's something new. Let's see if we can find what the peak has to do with other variables. And about the same time, I ran across another paper showing the time trend of electrification in this country. They asked a question on the census in 20, 30, and 40. Is your house hooked to the grid? So I took that data and matched it with the childhood leukemia data nationally and found out that there's a striking correlation between the mortality from the development of the childhood peak and the fact or the level of being hooked to the grid. In other words, state by state, you could look at how many houses or what percent of houses were hooked to the grid, and that predicted the emergence of the childhood peak and the childhood leukemia mortality rate. So that's how I really got interested in leukemia. I published that paper way, way back when.
Now, when you say hooked to the grid, you're just talking about a home that has electricity? Or are you referring to something?
Yeah, what I mean is that there's a wire from a central distributing place to your house. In other words, they asked the question, do you have, electric lights, and not from a generator, but from a wire coming to your house from the grid.
And so that was the transition that took place, I guess, in the 30s. Most homes did not have most homes were not hooked to the grid. Is that true?
Well, what's really interesting, of course, I found that, I just dove into the history of electrification. It all started with Thomas Edison in 1892. He built the Pearl Street Generating Station in New York City. And he had a bunch of these big dynamos called the jumbos. And his initial product was direct current, but after Tesla got involved, they went to AC. But right from the get-go, from 1892, if you read his archives, he complained bitterly about brush arcing. Brushes are the devices that pick the electricity up off the drive shaft, the commutator. And electric motors and generators are pretty much the same thing. In one case, you turn a shaft and you get electricity. And the other, another, you put electricity in and it turns a shaft. They're basically the same device. But initially, they all had brushes, and they were called brushes because they were stiff copper wires bound to the top that looked like a broom or a brush. But Edison had a terrible problem with brush arcing and was wearing out the commutators where the brushes hit. And he tried to correct it by dumping mercury into his dynamos. And, of course, it made everybody sick with mercury poisoning. But he found other ways of minimizing the arcing. But you still get brush arcing anytime you have a brushed motor or brush generator. So I think from the very beginning, he was inadvertently making people sick, because arcing is one of the major ways of making this dirty electricity. What I mean by dirty, it's called electrical pollution. In this country, electricity is generated at 60 cycles a second or 60 hertz. And if you look at it on the oscilloscope, you should get a nice smooth sine wave. In Europe, it's 50 cycles a second. But what happens is, with arcing and other kinds of problems like sparking and now many, many devices make terrible amounts of electrical pollution. You look at the sine waves that are being delivered to your house or to your office or anywhere else, and it's got all sorts of extraneous bumps on the sine wave that amount to electrical pollution. It makes people sick. And the utilities have known for years that it causes terrible problems with out.
So what you're saying, Sam, is that the actual current may not be the problem. It's the extraneous signals. It's the pollution.
It's the electrical pollution. I'm convinced that the electrical pollution is the problem now. Now, one paper I saw way back when described how the census data collected this electrification. If you look at the history of electrification in this country, actually in the world, by the turn of the century, 1900, every big city in the world had electricity. New York, San Francisco, Timbuktu, they all had it. But in this country, when the distances were so big and it was so expensive to run wires.
Sam, I've got a little break right now on Healthy Vision,
okay.
Folks. I have a fascinating conversation with Sam Milham, the author of Dirty Electricity, and we'll be right back after this break. Okay.
Independent Talk, 1100, KFNX.
Get started with MCS. Want to learn more about microcurrent and how it can improve your health? Many alternative doctors feel that microcurrent treatment is a safe and effective way to change your body's energy to relieve pain and stimulate healing. It is now known that electrical activity occurs at the cellular level and that there is deficient electrical activity around areas of disease, such as tumors, inflammation, or areas of poor blood flow. Disease is a lack of electrons. Let microcurrent put them back into your body. We are now offering a 2-day training workshop for the public on how microcurrent can benefit you. This course will teach you the basics to begin using microcurrent for yourself and your family. This program will be held at the American Medical College of Homeopathy in Phoenix, Arizona, and the Florida Wellness Center. Please call the office at 800-430-9328 for more information. That number again, 800-430-9328. Get started on using microcurrent now. Call this number, 800-430-9328. Learn more about microcurrent and how it can improve your health. Call 800-430-9328.
Dr. Kondrat's latest book, Top 20 Alternative Doctors of America, gets a 5-star review. This is a book that not only allows the person to become educated in what kinds of alternative medicine are out there, but what these disciplines or therapies are and what they do to help a person who is sick. What a wealth of information. This book should be offered in every first year of medical school so that prospective doctors have the opportunity to learn how true healing takes place. The only problem I had with it, it left me wanting more. Says Dr. Edward Kondrat in the introduction, you may wonder why you haven't heard of some of these doctors. Well, these clinicians are quietly working in the trenches, helping thousands of people without the recognition of pop TV doctors or publicity. Order your book today. It's like having a private conversation with the top 20 alternative doctors of America. Learn their secrets to keep you healthy. Call 800-430-9328 to order your copy. That's 800-430-9328. Once again, 800-430-9328.
Lately, more and more nutritionists are discovering that beets are a superfood that offers powerful health and nutritional benefits. Can red beets help eye disease? Studies indicate that red beets are the richest source of dietary nitrates. It's these dietary nitrates which the body converts into nitric oxide. Nitric oxide can open up the blood vessels in the body, increasing blood flow and oxygen, specifically to places that are lacking oxygen. Nitric oxide is a molecule that dilates blood vessels, allowing more oxygen and nutrients to fuel every cell in your body, including your eye. Neo40 is a patented breakthrough in nitric oxide delivery to boost the efficiency of the body's nitrate pathways so that more nitric oxide is available when and where it's needed. Each Neo40 lozenge is roughly equivalent to 6 red beets. For more information on Neo40, call 800-430-9328 or go to healingtheeye.com. That's 800-430-9328 or healingtheeye.com. You can beat eye disease now. Call 800-430-9328.
I'm Amy McClure, owner of A&M Mechanical. When my customers have no heating or cooling in their homes, my service trucks have to be ready to respond. So we rely on National Automotive Repair. They keep our entire fleet up and running all year long. Of course, we also trust National Automotive Repair with our personal vehicles, too. My company strives on providing service with integrity, so I choose an automotive repair shop that does, too. I trust National Automotive Repair to care for all my vehicles. I can rely on them to be honest, timely, and fair with every visit. You, too, can trust National Automotive Repair. They will care for all of your vehicle servicing needs.
Hi, I'm Randy from National Automotive Repair. National Automotive Repair has been in business since 1997, and I built this business on the basics of honesty and integrity. NAR is an independently owned Napa Auto Care Center. We are also an ASE Blue Seal of Excellence shop. We have always been rated A+ by the Better Business Bureau. Give us a call at 602-978-3278, 602-978-3278, or visit us at narepair.com.
Log on and listen live. 1100KFNX.com.
Welcome back to Developing Vision. This is your host, Dr. Edward Kondrat, and with me is Sam Milham, and he's giving us some shocking, and of course that's a play on words, shocking information on dirty electricity, how it is contributing to many, many problems with our health. So, Sam, you were beginning to tell us about the two separate population groups that were studied?
Right. Well, when you go look at the history of electrification, there's good papers about it. All the big cities in the world, it was such a blazing hot technology, and everybody saw its advantages of having light and heat and ability to have motors turned. So by the turn of the century, all the big cities in the world got it. I checked through my hometown of Olympia, they got it in 1902. And most cities like St. Louis and New York, they all had it by the turn of the century. But in this country, wires are expensive. To hook houses up out in the countryside, it's expensive. So it wasn't until the 30s with the federal programs to support rural electrification that a lot of the population got electrified. It took until 1955 for the last farms in this country to get hooked to the grid. I mean, so you had almost 55 years. We had two populations, one of which, the urban populations in the northeastern states in California, had it. And rural areas and areas in the south, they didn't get it until really late in the game. And the differences were just enormous. So I looked at 1930 and 1940 deaths in the U.S. by residents and by cause. I did that childhood leukemia study, and when I was doing it, I noticed that, hey, it wasn't just leukemia. It looked like all causes of death, which I couldn't believe, were connected to residents and or electrification levels. So I finally did a paper, and I published it. By the way, all my papers are on my website that pertain to this, and you can look at them if you get interested. And I tried to write them so anybody can understand them. The website is an HT, it's just, if you go to Google and put in Sam Milham, dirty electricity, it'll come up. But anyway, what I found is that, the people who collected vital statistics noticed this. They noticed, like, in the 20s that there was, a 53% increase of cancer mortality in urban versus rural areas. I mean, that's a huge difference. But nobody did anything with it until I tried to much later in the game. The other thing that really surprised me, it wasn't just the cancers. I had half a note. I knew from the leukemia and other studies that they were going to be associated with electrification. But it wasn't just the cancers. It was heart disease, all the cancers, diabetes. And the one that really blew my mind was suicide. Of all problems, but when you think about it, it's just the iceberg of the depression. You're depressed, then you kill yourself. Suicide showed a real clear relationship to electrification. So I wrote it.
Sam, I have a question, because if you're comparing data from the cities versus the country, a critic could say, well, the city has more stress, there's more pollution. There's a lot of other factors that could have contributed to the difference in disease. So how do you answer that?
Yeah, well, there are differences, but in most, small eastern states, like Rhode Island, and even when I was in training up in Albany, the major medical centers got to see people from the sticks and people from that area. So the same docs were taking care of these people, and they were getting, especially the tough cases, the cancers, they get referred to the major centers. The other thing I looked at early was I looked at a population that doesn't use electricity at all. The Amish, the Mennonite sect too, you know, for religious reasons, shun electricity. And they came over here in the 1700s, and from the time they came over, their life expectancy was in the mid-70s, okay? It's still that way. At the turn of the century, if you lived in an urban area, like New York City or any of the big cities, men were dying at age in their 40s, 46 on average, 43, and women about age 46. So these people were living 25 years longer. And even back at the turn of the century, people who studied the Amish noticed that, hey, their diabetes rates and their cancer rates were vanishingly low. Now, I hope that answers your question in a sense. No, it's the same.
Makes sense. It does clarify it.
Okay. So what to do with that information? But the real breakthrough came for me came the dirty electricity connection came all the early epidemiologic data with say the cancer started with leukemia. Wertheimer and Leeper did studies of childhood leukemia in Denver, and they showed that the thickness of the wires that come to your house, they had a wire code system, which correlated with current flow. The thicker wires have higher currents, and current is what drives magnetic fields. So they intuited that if a house, that they looked at houses that spawned childhood leukemia and control houses, and they found out that there was some sort of a connection between current flow and magnetic fields and childhood leukemia. And later on, the industry supported some studies by Savitz, and he basically showed the same thing with measurements. Basically, these people were right. But the focus was basically on magnetic fields as an etiologic agent. But, you know, the epidemiology was, well, I don't want to get fancy about it, it didn't smell right to me because, like with smoking, if you're a two-pack-a-day smoker, you have 20 times the mortality from lung cancer as a non-smoker. Two problems with electricity is there are no non-smokers, basically. We're all exposed. So it's like comparing a two-pack-a-day smoker to a one-pack-a-day smoker. And that way, the risks are much, much lower than 20. They're like 2 or 3. So you had that kind of problem. And the other problem epidemiologically was that the risks for like leukemia versus magnetic fields never got above 2, 3, or 4. They're just really low. But when I moved here to the South, to NDO in 2004. There was an article in the newspaper that January by a cancer cluster in a school here. The teachers complained, and the school blew them off, of course, and so did the public health authorities, as they always do. But I persisted, and with their help, we did a really good study. And this time we measured not only magnetic fields, but we measured this dirty electricity business. And with a meter that had been fabricated by Martin Graham and Dave Stetzer, you basically plug it in and read it. It gives you the rate of change, dV/dt, of the current. Anytime you interrupt current flow, you get this dirty electricity, like arcing or sparking, or now all these devices called switching power supplies, which are everywhere. I mean, cell towers run, all transmitters run on DC. So they can't buy DC, and they can't run them on batteries. What they do is they buy AC and change it with switching power supplies. All the devices, like your computers and your cell phone, they run on DC. You have these little gizmos to charge them, which are switching power supplies. But anyway, that's a tremendous source of this dirty electricity. And at the school, we showed the cancer rate in the teachers was directly proportional to the reading taken one day in June in their classroom.
Sam, we're coming up to another break, so why don't we save this information? We come back. It's really fascinating. Okay. Folks, you're listening to Healthy Vision, and with me is Sam Milham, author of an amazing book called Dirty Electricity. You can find the book on www.sammilham.com. It's a great book. And there is something that we need to do. We need to be aware of this dirty electricity. We'll be right back after this break.
This is the Blaze Radio News. I'm Mike Craig. The White House is confirming the beheading of American hostage Peter Kasich. President Obama condemns the killing as a pure act of evil and offered his prayers and condolences to Kasich's parents and family. It's open enrollment for the second year of Obamacare, but there is still plenty of criticism for the program. The Blaze Radio's Tom Peace.
The problem with expanding Medicaid, the problem with the Affordable Care Act, the problem with Obamacare is that it chooses a top-down, closed approach where the government is running your health care.
Louisiana's Republican governor, Bobby Jindal, says he worries about the taxpayers in his state.
Louisiana taxpayers are federal taxpayers. These are federal tax dollars. Why waste these tax dollars? We've got to stop acting in this city like all of this money is free money.
Jindal on NBC's Meet the Press says there are better ways to provide health care and that the government is pushing a one-size-fits-all solution.
The White House and President Obama in damage control mode following audio from a key player in the passage of his signature legislation. The Blaze Radio's Chris Vermilion has more.
Did you mislead Americans about the taxes, about keeping your plan in order to get the bill passed?
No. I did not.
President Obama answering a question from Fox News reporter Ed Henry on comments made by Jonathan Gruber that Obamacare was passed thanks to the stupidity of the American voter.
The fact that some advisor who never worked on our staff expressed an opinion that I completely disagree with in terms of the voters is no reflection on the actual process that was run.
Gruber pulling in about $400,000 from the Department of Health and Human Services for his work on Obamacare. I'm Chris Vermilion, The Blaze News.
Defense Secretary Chuck Hagel says the military is accelerating its efforts to train and advise Iraqi forces fighting Islamic terrorists. Hagel says the effort began a few days ago. He did not provide details. This is news on the Blaze Radio Network. Truth lives here.
From the KFNX Weatherbug Weather Center for tonight, it'll be clear, cold, and breezy. A low 36 with winds to 25 miles an hour. We'll have a sunny Monday to start the week with a high of 68 with winds to 20 miles an hour. It'll be clear and cool Monday night, a low 39 with winds to 20 miles an hour. Tuesday should be sunny with a high of 71. I'm Rod Tanner from the KFNX Weatherbug Weather Center.
Currently in downtown Phoenix, it's 68 degrees.
Independent Talk, 1100, KFNX.
Hello, this is Joe Cordell of Cordell & Cordell. Here are a few quick divorce tips we provide our clients. Sometimes email is the best way to communicate with your wife during the divorce. It's efficient, it creates a record, and it avoids ugly scenes. On the other hand, because you're on the record, your comments must be tactful and reasonable. Assume your emails will be exhibits at trial. Remember, your goal throughout the process is to project an image of common sense and good faith. The judge should understand that your wife is the source of this needless litigation. You're the good guy, the voice of reason. A related point, be cooperative where you can. Show flexibility regarding non-essential issues. Judges notice this. Besides, save your attorney fees for what's important. By the way, unless you're in Missouri or Illinois, I'm not licensed in your state, but that's okay. Our attorneys in your state are.
Call Cordell & Cordell to schedule an appointment with one of our firm's Arizona attorneys. 602-995-6666. 7150 East Camelback Road, Suite 444, Scottsdale, Arizona, 85251.
Call Dr. Condrit for a personal consultation. Dr. Condrit is a leading alternative eye doctor, author of three best-selling books, and host of Healthy Vision Talk Radio. Call for your personal consultation with Dr. Condrit to learn what alternative therapies can help you. Take this important step today to improve your vision. Call 1-800-430-9328. That number again, 1-800-430-9328.
Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX.
Welcome back to Healthy Vision. We're talking about dirty electricity. And Sam, I wonder after you finish talking about the cluster of cancer cases that we move right in and talk about eye problems related to dirty electricity. So,
sure, You know what? I kind of skipped over the people who discovered dirty electricity. I mean, people have known about arcing and sparking, and electrical engineers know all about electric pollution. But Martin Graham, a professor emeritus at UC Berkeley, and David Stetzer, who runs an electrical repair shop and who's military trained in electronics, they noticed that dairy cattle, farmers were explaining that their dairy cattle would stop giving milk, and they thought it was coming dirty electricity in the ground. So Stetzer and they invented meters and they used oscilloscopes, and sure enough, in fact, they got a paper out, I think, this one a year ago, showing that as little as 10 millivolts, this high-frequency transients or dirty electricity in the earth will stop a cow from milking, make her sick. And part of a big part of the problem is that the grid was built. In this country, we have mostly a grounded Y grid, W-Y-E grid. All the electricity that came to your house or to your motors would go back on the utility neutral wires to complete the electric circuit. But when computers and other electronic junk came in the 60s and 70s, what happened is there started being fires in houses and buildings because the neutral return wires in the buildings couldn't handle the high-frequency stuff that the computers and other things were generating. High frequencies don't run on wires as well as low frequencies. So they changed the rules on wiring to make more robust wires in buildings and in offices. But the utilities, in their infinite wisdom, instead of beefing up the wires on the poles, just dump the electricity into the ground at their transformers. You go out and you look at your transformer. It's got three taps on it. The center tap's the neutral. You see a wire run from it into the ground at about every pole. And that basically, now what's happening is about 70% of the electricity that's delivered returns to the substation through the earth. That gets into everybody's house through water pipes and through sewer pipes, and it messes up cows, and God knows what it does to the creatures that live in the soil. But that's a huge part of this problem. In fact, in areas of California, I can't get under 3 volts of dirty electricity in the ground anywhere, even up in the mountains. It's everywhere now. It's pervasive because it all runs back to the substations with the earth. Okay, now these people developed the meter that we used at La Quinta School. We had somebody else measure the electricity in every outlet in the school with this meter, and we showed that the reading on that meter, the dirty electricity units predicted the cancer incidents, not deaths, new cases in those teachers. So I published that, and I got a call from another teacher who worked at an elementary school. She said, we've got the same problem, and indeed they did. In this case, we showed that not only was there a big excess of cancer, but the kids in the schools were unteachable and misbehaving on account of this. They essentially had ADHD, attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. And one of the classrooms at that school, it was really bad. You could filter the stuff out of the outlets by putting in a capacitor, which Stetzer and other people sell. But I put these capacitors in, and lo and behold, within an hour, the kids were perfectly normal again. Now, the teacher was smarter than I was. She tried to filter in and out a number of times and timed the kids, and she could turn them off like a light switch. So there we have prima facie evidence that this dirty electricity not only is a carcinogen, but it affects behavior. And since found out that it affects your blood sugar level, that when we clean up a place that's got diabetics living there, their insulin levels change, and all of above. And so that's the La Quinta story. The sad part about that is the school districts are so afraid of getting sued that they won't do anything about it. And I've offered a couple schools to, at my own expense, go in and clean the place up, put the filters in, and I know they take care of everything, but a couple places I can't even step on property because they'd have me arrested as being a terrorist.
They worry.
I don't
understand. Why is that? You're trying to help. Why is that?
Well, because they're just good to be afraid of getting sued for the cancers or for having problems in the kids. And hey, and it's not just the teachers. At the La Quinta School, now I know about four young women in their 20s who developed thyroid cancer who went to school at this middle school for 3 years. Now, you know, it's a... And the other thing is the public health in this country, the FCC, and the rest of the people who really ought to be looking after electricity and health aren't doing it. You can just invent something and sell it, even if it's killing people. There's a lot of that out there.
Well, let's talk a little bit about eye problems, since this is healthy vision.
Well, the only real I've gotten very recently into a terrible set of eye problems. Like at the La Quinta School, one of the cancers that reared its ugly head in the teachers was malignant melanoma. That's the cancer of the melanotic skin cells, and the two or three other cancer clusters I've looked at where melanoma is up there. And it's not caused by sunshine, as people think. It's caused by this EMF, because you get it on parts of your body that never see the sun, like on the soles of your feet, your scalp, and folds, and your groin, and mucous membranes. One another place you get it is in the eye. And it's a very, very rare cancer. Now, right now, I'm just starting to work on a cluster of ocular melanoma in young women who went to a school in North Carolina. Tonight I'm going to write a letter to this superintendent of schools asking her for permission to go in and check the place out.
Now, I had heard that some of the dirty electricity, in particular from smart meters, is linked now to the development of cataracts and also some retinal problems like retinal wrinkling or macular degeneration.
You know, I've done a lot of smart meter work, and I'll tell you, it's a dual problem. They're not smart, they're dumb. First of all, a lot of them burn. So people have been killed directly by house fires caused by burning smart meters. But I've had people call me, you know, the day the smart meter gets put in, they get sick. I mean, people with pacemakers and other things have had to leave their houses. I know other people driven out of their homes. It doesn't surprise me whatsoever that there's eye problems. The Russians described this microwave illness in the business 40 years ago, and all the symptoms they described there, I get phone calls from people saying, you know, we got terrible headaches, or I can't sleep, insomnia is another one. But diabetics, they can't control their diabetes. I'll tell you a little story about this elementary school that I write about in my book. One of the elementary teachers there had type 2 diabetes, and it was completely uncontrolled. He was bouncing around between insulin shock and some overdose, blood sugars at 400 or 500. He had, you know, repeated infections and had some amputations. When he retired, his diabetes disappeared. You pay attention to that, because that's just not reported. He said, yeah, about 3 months after he was out of the school, his blood sugar was perfectly normal. He threw away a syringe and his insulin. The other thing people don't realize is that all this electric junk out there, they use these TENS devices, transcutaneous electric stimulation devices for pain. They've been associated with Lou Gehrig's disease in soccer players, and I'm absolutely...
Yeah, I had read that in your book.
Lou Gehrig got it, I'm sure, because the chiropractor who was the trainer for the Yankees used shortwave diathermy. And three guys from the same San Francisco 49ers pro football team got it. I mean, that's like lightning strike three times. And one of them reported to one of my friends that, they had diathermy treatments all the time. Anytime you put that stuff in your body, you're generating strong currents. And I think that's what causes the ALS business. And it can cause anything else, too.
Well, we're coming up to another break, and folks, you're listening to Healthy Vision, and with me is Sam Noham. He wrote a phenomenal book called Dirty Electricity, and I highly encourage you to give a copy of the book and find out more about this dirty electricity that is definitely affecting our health. And you can go to his website, www.samilham.com. And when we come back, we're going to be talking about, I want Sam to tell us more about microwaves.
Okay.
And also what we can do to protect ourselves.
Okay.
I really feel, Sam, that I'm seeing more and more patients now that are suffering from dirty electricity, just because, as you mentioned, we're just being surrounded with cell phones, computers, all these electronic gadgets. It's just a wonder how our bodies can function at all. So folks, we'll be right back after this break.
Independent Talk, 1100, KFNX.
Get started with MCS. Want to learn more about microcurrent and how it can improve your health? Many alternative doctors feel that microcurrent treatment is a safe and effective way to change your body's energy to relieve pain and stimulate healing. It is now known that electrical activity occurs at the cellular level and that there is deficient electrical activity around areas of disease, such as tumors, inflammation, or areas of poor blood flow. Disease is a lack of electrons. Let microcurrent put them back into your body. We are now offering a 2-day training workshop for the public on how microcurrent can benefit you. This course will teach you the basics to begin using microcurrent for yourself and your family. This program will be held at the American Medical College of Homeopathy in Phoenix, Arizona, and the Florida Wellness Center. Please call the office at 800-430-9328 for more information. That number again, 800-430-9328. Get started on using microcurrent now. Call this number, 800-430-9328. Learn more about microcurrent and how it can improve your health. Call 800-430-9328.
Dr. Kondrat's latest book, Top 20 Alternative Doctors of America, gets a 5-star review. This is a book that not only allows the person to become educated in what kinds of alternative medicine are out there, but what these disciplines or therapies are and what they do to help a person who is sick. What a wealth of information. This book should be offered in every first year of medical school so that prospective doctors have the opportunity to learn how true healing takes place. The only problem I had with it, it left me wanting more. Says Dr. Edward Kondrat in the introduction, you may wonder why you haven't heard of some of these doctors. Well, these clinicians are quietly working in the trenches, helping thousands of people without the recognition of pop TV doctors or publicity. Order your book today. It's like having a private conversation with the top 20 alternative doctors of America. Learn their secrets to keep you healthy. Call 800-430-9328 to order your copy. That's 800-430-9328. Once again, 800-430-9328.
A new approach to dementia and Alzheimer's is finally available, and it's under your nose. Yes, the answer to these two devastating diseases is right under your nose, or should I say, in your nose. A published study shows that intranasal light, a laser light placed in your nose, can reverse symptoms of Alzheimer's and Parkinson's. In 30 days, over 2/3 of the patients had an improvement of symptoms. This treatment can also help with headaches and memory problems. Treatment is simple with a small laser light placed in your nostril. The laser light bathes the blood vessels in the nose, which then travel to the brain. This treatment is documented to reduce inflammation and stimulate activity of cells. This simple, portable treatment device can be used daily. For more information, call 800-430-9328 or go to healingtheeye.com. That's 800-430-9328 or visit healingtheeye.com. The answer is right under your nose. 800-430-9328. 800-430-9328.
At Ripoff Report, we know it's how a business handles unsatisfied customers that separate the good businesses from the rest. When verified merchants get complaints, we let them know immediately and give them the opportunity to fix the issues directly with their customers. We are always delighted when you choose Ripoff Report. And remember, be on the lookout for websites that have our verified seal, the quickest way to know whether a business is worthy of your business.
Podcasts of the Prepper Patch Radio Show are available 24/7 for free at preparednessradio.com. Simply go to the show's tab and click on the Prepper Patch for recent podcasts of the Prepper Patch radio show. Go to the Apple iTunes Store or Podbean.com and search Prepper Patch Radio. Like and share us on Facebook at Facebook.com/Prepper Patch Radio. And follow us on Twitter at The Prepper Patch. And remember, prepping, it's not for doomsday, it's for every day.
Visit us online at 1100KFNX.com.
Welcome back to Healthy Vision. This is your host, Dr. Edward Condry. With me is Sam Milham. We're talking about dirty electricity. And probably one of the most dirtiest forms of electricity is the microwave. Sam, do you want to make some comments about that?
Yeah, but you know, I was just sitting down to write a paper about microwaves. All the people in the business are just screaming about microwaves. Let me just remind people that microwaves are just—they're short waves. That's why they're called micro. Spanish is microondas, but they were invented as radar in World War II, and the original microwave ovens were called radar ranges. So that was the first commercial general exposure to microwaves. Now it's everything, you know, cell towers and routers and cell phones and the other. When I was talking about smart meters, I forgot to say that, look at, they expose you to two things. The microwaves from the transmitter, but since it's a transmitter, all transmitters run on direct current, so they have to take the grid AC and change it to DC with a switching power supply, which makes dirty electricity. And I've had people get better who are symptomatic from their smart meters just by plugging in filters to get rid of the dirty electricity while the smart meter is still blasting the microwaves. I'm not minimizing the microwave stuff, but I think that the major microwave exposure we have is to cell towers, and of course the cell phones. I mean, I think it's just idiotic to stick a microwave transmitter against your head like people do when they hold a cell phone there. But the other stuff you got to watch out for in your house are wireless routers, baby monitors, portable or cordless phones. Those are horrible. And the worst in terms of the portable phones are the DECT phones, DECT, Digital Enhanced Cordless Phones. And it's not the phone, it's the base. It's, you've got a microwave oven running in your room the whole time, and it makes people terribly, terribly ill. And the other thing to watch out for, many new motors have variable frequency drives on it, and we're talking about almost all new air conditioners have them on it. I've got a woman now who's living in a flea-back motel who got driven out of her house by a variable frequency drive on a well pump that they put into the community well 400 feet down to the ground. The minute it turned on, she got dreadfully ill. She'd still be there, except her pets started dying too, and people who work in her orchard got sick. I went and measured, there's 20 volts of dirty electricity half a mile from her house in that stupid orchard from that VFD, the variable frequency drive. So there's almost no place to hide. And the other information that's important is that the Brazilians have done some good studies of cell towers. They show that up to 500 meters from the tower, the cancer mortality is directly related to how far you are from the tower. The farther you are from it, up to 500 meters, the lower the cancer mortality. So I'm telling you, that's got to be a dirty electricity phenomenon, because the RF from the tower isn't going to hurt you at 500 meters, because it drops off like light by the square of the distance, where the dirty electricity will run forever. So, I mean, I can... But, okay, what you can do about this stuff is...
Yeah, which... Check
your environment, and you go down to your Radio Shack or go to your radio store and buy yourself a cheap little AM portable radio. Tune it off station and walk around your house or your office. And in any place you get heavy static, you got to pay attention to. The other device you want is to get a Stetzer Microsurge meter and plug it in to your outlets. And if they're above 50, try to get it down. But more importantly, no wireless routers, period. There's no baby monitors, no DECT phones, no VFDs. And when you put your microwave oven on, geez, don't stand there. You got to get 20 feet away from it so it doesn't fry you and bother you. And the other, if you have constant problems, you can have what I had to advise some people to do is they're getting so much dirty electricity in through their water pipes and their sewer pipes is that they can sometimes get relief by putting a non-conductive spacer, like a plastic pipe, in the water pipe, water line, say 2 feet of pipe, so the dirty electricity that's coming in through the pipes can't get into your house. I wish we had another hour. I could just go on about.
But Sam, I have a question. How can you measure the dirty electricity in the soil? That was really fascinating.
That's easy. What I do is I have a two-channel oscilloscope, actually, and what I do is I put two screwdrivers into the ground at 40 feet of wire, and I just measure how much of the stuff is flowing through the soil to get a waveform. And we can calculate frequency. I also have, we can measure it in air too with a spectrum analyzer and also with an oscilloscope. We measure it in the outlets by plugging into an outlet, and then we've got a high pass filter that splits what's coming out of the wall. So you're measuring the 60 cycle stuff and the high pass stuff that goes through the filter, which is where the dirty electricity is. And the oscilloscopes have neat little software where you can, they'll calculate total harmonic distortion and other measures of dirty electricity. Utilities are supposed to stay beneath 5% total harmonic distortion. I'm finding in some solar and wind operations that they're up to 50 to 100% harmonic distortion. That's another thing.
Why is solar
or wind are connected to the grid, they've got to go from DC to AC because they generate DC, okay? And it's the switching power supply, and every damn one I've measured in residences or in the big million, 900,000 unit things in the desert, they all put out terrible dirty electricity because their inverters and the solar.
What about solar that's not connected to the grid?
That's fine. I mean, but you can't run pumps and stuff and heavy duty stuff. There are in my book I give websites. Catherine Kleiber's got a website where she tells you how to go about getting off grid with solar, and it's a complicated business. I mean, it's not just simple.
Unfortunately, we're coming to an end on Healthy Vision. I want to thank you so much. And also, folks, Sam is invited to speak at our 9th annual Microcurrent Conference, which is coming up in October of next year. So I'm hoping to get Sam there so he can educate us more on this really, really important topic that is adversely affecting our health and adversely affecting our vision. Sam, thank you so much. And once again, folks, his book is called Dirty Electricity, and you can get it on Amazon.com. You can also go to his website, www.sammilham.com, and he does have a lot of reference articles and other material that you can download. Sam, thank you so much. I hope to have you as a guest again on Healthy Vision.
My pleasure. Thanks a lot.
And this is your host, Dr. Edward Kondrat, wishing all of you good health and clear vision. And next Sunday, I have a very fascinating guest. Dr. Lee Cowden is going to be talking to us about a very, very unusual way to detox your body. So this is your host, Dr. Edward Kondrat, thanking you so much for listening.
Fearful investors are dumping stocks, real estate, and commodities because of economic instability here, there, and everywhere. Craig R. Smith, my friend, tells me this. He says, investors are smart to seek safe havens, but most are making a dangerous mistake that's hazardous to their wealth. Many are jumping from the frying pan into the fire by converting all of their assets into unsafe U.S. dollars. Smith says, converting assets into dollars is like seeking shelter from today's bear market inside the bear's cave. Politicians debase dollars by printing trillions out of thin air. Right now is the perfect time to buy tangible assets that lying politicians cannot print nor devalue, as they have been doing to the dollar. I'm talking about gold and silver. That's right. Do it now. Listen to me. Call Swiss America right now at 1-800-289-2646. 800-BUY-COIN. Get my new Future of Money CD and